second time meeting tonight.
If you would go ahead and mark the number 369.
Beforehand, we'll think we're 68. Because of the...
Cousins and sons, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he
pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day, and we're thankful for this time that we can come together and acknowledge you as the one and true living God. As we have just sung, our life is in your hands, and we are so glad that you sent your Son to be a sacrifice for us, as we have been studying that perfect sacrifice that gives us the hope of heaven and cleanses us from our sins. We're thankful for the church here and the members that have come together tonight and their devotion to you and to each other and to learning more about your will. We're thankful for Elijah and his ability to lead us in our study tonight. We're thankful for your word that you've revealed to us and the things that it reveals about you to us. Help us to always have a hunger and thirst for your word so that we can learn more and more about your will for our lives and that we can be better servants in your kingdom and be more like your son, Jesus Christ. We pray for those in the world that do not know you. We pray that others can learn your will and be a servant of yours and guide their life after your will so that we can be what you would have us to be and help us as your servants to bring others to you and to use the opportunities that we have to spread your word and help others to see the light of your way. Please be with us and help us to be strong and undeterred in following you. And we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Just a couple of thoughts for us before we depart from the building tonight to take with us a little bit. I thought I'd talk for just a minute about the sheep of the Good Shepherd. Just have that kind of general thought in mind. It is the invitation of Christ for someone, anyone, all of us, to come to Him and to be a part of the fold of the Great Shepherd. He is the Creator. He has made us. We are like Him in the fact that we were created in His image, and He desires to have us with Him, like a shepherd desires to have his sheep. Now, that he knows those sheep, he calls them his sheep, he uses them, he appreciates them, and they belong to him in a very special way that he develops a relationship. Shepherds develop a relationship with the sheep that they're responsible for. When a sheep has gone away was in the fold or belongs in the fold, that invitation is also for that sheep to return to the safety of being among the flock again, to be in the fold, to live within the fold of Jesus Christ and his sheep. As a shepherd, Jesus provides shelter. He provides room for us to live our long lives, but then controls that environment for us and shelters us and keeps it. I think when I use that term almost every time, the argument that Satan gives with God about Job, that, well, of course he serves you. You keep him hedged in. Well, God didn't deny that he did offer a hedging for Job. He just denied that was the only reason that Job would be faithful to him. That was a blessing that Job was offered by God. Well, that's what Jesus offers us as his sheep, is a place to be and a protection and a fold that we can be a part of that is hedged about, where Jesus keeps us in safe places and takes us to where the provisions are, that kind of thing. And so God is doing that. He never denied that he would take care of and provide for his sheep, those he calls into his fold. But even in the best circumstances, the sheep tend to get themselves in trouble from time to time and stumble and fall. And I've experienced this a little bit, just a taste of it, up with Lonnie, my daughter's father-in-law. And he keeps sheep there as they transact them back and forth. And sometimes he has to hang on to them for a while so he gets to know some of them. And when I read about this, I saw something on social media, it just triggered me to talk about this tonight. And it was the idea of when the sheep fall, how helpless they are. You know, sometimes they kind of fall forward and down and they'll get back up. But if they fall over on their side and get on their back, they are pretty much helpless. They do have knees. I've seen them, but they do have knees. But they don't know how to bend their legs very well and get that big bulk, especially when they're got a lot of wool on them. They don't know how to get back up. They're just as helpless as they can be. And they really will not get back up. They will actually die where they are. When they're in that condition, they're called a cast sheep. That's the term that shepherds use for it. They're a cast sheep because they've fallen down and they're not able to rise up on their own and to pick themselves back up without the shepherd to come in and help them. And so that's clearly one of the things that he does, either going and grabbing them and helping pull them up physically or using his staff to pull them. I think you've all probably heard in the past the idea of when they fall in water, sometimes the wool gets so heavy That's what the hook is for of the staff, and they'll reach out and grab them and pull them out of the water. They're just really helpless in so many cases. So when Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, when God presented him that the Messiah would be the good shepherd of the flock of God, it seems to me that they had in mind that he would be needed, and the sheep would look to him for help sometimes, that they would fall and that they would not be able to get back up unless he helped them. And he accepted that responsibility. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. There's not a passage I'm going to mention tonight that's probably not familiar to you, but just painting this picture of this role that Jesus has and our part in it as the sheep of the Good Shepherd. Let's read these few verses together as a reminder. John chapter 10, and beginning in verse 11, and then we'll skip to verse 14. Verse 11, he says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Verse 14, "I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So Jesus knew when he came to this earth that that was his role, to be the sheep and to be the shepherd of the sheep. And to know his sheep is to know what their needs are going to be, and to plan to be there and show us how he will be there to help us and take care of us and provide for us. So that's a picture that we should take with us about Jesus, that we go from day to day and we try to walk within the confines of the safety that Jesus has provided. But if we stumble and fall, that we can call out to him, that we can let him know that we've stumbled and fallen, and he will reach out and pick us up. And he knew that. He demonstrated his ability to pick somebody back up by doing it himself, that he laid down his life for the sheep. He put himself in the way of the greatest danger and died for sins, and then took his life back up again so that he could call all of his sheep together and have one fold and be one shepherd over that sheep. So Jesus knows his sheep, and he knows their needs, including that they will need help when they fall. He first took the fall, and then he got back up. He took the fall to death, not to sin, but to death. And then he got back up. And all others are called to him so that they can be successful by the help that he's able to give them. All others are called to his success of being able to get back up, because he will now help us rise up from where we are. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. As the Hebrew writer concludes his thoughts, he says this really great oration about who Jesus is. For Hebrews 13 and verse 20. "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." He came to earth. He was successful in his life to the point that he was able to be the sacrifice. He laid down his life so that he could take it up again and show us how to get back up after having fallen to sin. And he is therefore the great shepherd of the sheep, who through his blood makes an everlasting covenant that we might be able to do the good works of God, and God would do his great works in us to save us by Jesus Christ. May he receive all the glory. Finally, a thought that Jesus is ascended up into heaven to do his work there. He was presented himself in Revelation 5 as a lamb that had been slain, but it was had been, no longer slain, but in the condition to show what he had gone through to raise up his own sheep and to provide for them. And he left behind instruction that qualified men should be set up over a single congregation, multiple elders over a single congregation, to do the similar work, to watch for the flock, to take care of the fold, to provide for the sheep. First Peter chapter 5, in the first four verses, Peter actually makes the same picture himself of the work of elders, of whom he was one. So 1 Peter 5 and verse 1 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away." That crown of glory is obviously talked to about the elders there, but we know that everyone receives a crown. All of those receive a crown who are faithful to Jesus. When the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, keeps his flock and provides for them, when their end is to receive, is to be glorified in the glory that Jesus has as the great shepherd. And finally, to note that this is about elders, in Acts chapter 20, when Paul was addressing the Ephesian elders for what he thought was the last time, and he gives them that last moment of instruction before he doesn't think he will see them again. In Acts 20 and verse 28, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So you see, Peter and Paul both talked about the role of elders, reflecting the good, great shepherd, as Hebrews and Peter said. And the elders are there to help and to be caretakers for the sheep. And that's what, you know, Randy and I here and elders in any congregation are appointed to do. You looked out to the men of the congregation that you thought were qualified to do this, and we set about the work to protect, provide, feed, and lift up again the sheep that have fallen down. That's our job. And we do that to reflect the great shepherd. We do not do that of our own authority. We do not do that of our own glorification. We do that because that's what Jesus would do if he was here directly among us physically, and exactly what Jesus expects the shepherds of a congregation to do, to feed, to care, to protect. And watch out not only for what's going on in the sheep's life, but also what's going on around the sheep, so that grievous wolves won't take them away and consume them. I think it's just a beautiful picture that God gives of the protection of the hedge that he has given to us in being the great shepherd of Jesus Christ that he sent to call the flock together, and then providing even on earth within a congregation those that would do that same kind of work for each other in a physical, tangible way. And of course, the whole time the elders are praying to the through the great shepherd to God for the protect and the feeding and the lifting up again, to know what to do and when to do it. And that is one of the great challenges of the work, I think. But I say this to tell you, not to lay a burden on you about it, but to say that you have so many that are looking out for you, who are trying to take care of you and watch out for you. And when you've fallen, you have help to get back up. When you're hungry, you have those who want to feed you and make sure that you receive the nourishment that you need. As a Christian, when you become a Christian, that's an expectation that you can have as well. That Jesus is the good shepherd and will provide and take care for of you. And even among his flock, that there are those that are specifically trying to carry out that work in a very special way. If you have fallen, if you are malnourished, if you have stumbled and you just need help again, there's a lot of help among the flock. The sheep will gather around you, and the shepherds will provide for you and help you in any special way that you need. And of course, the great shepherd is desiring you, calling you, seeking you to stay among the flock and the fold for the protection, for the guidance, for the provisions that he has for each one of us. If you hear the call of the gospel to respond, to pick yourself back up, to look for that help that's afforded you, this is an invitation for you to make that known tonight, as even as we stand and sing.
Calling out to come into the fold of safety where there is rest and room. Come in the strength of manhood, come in the morn of youth. Enter the fold of safety, enter the way of truth. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he. Wonder, wonder, come unto me. Patiently waiting, may stand.
because the Gales still have stuff passed away today.
As announced on Sunday, I'll be going out to Michigan on Saturday for about 2 weeks. Appreciate it.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly our Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time at the close of our service, especially grateful that you are our King, our Father, and nothing can compare to you, and grateful that our worship was pleasing to you. Thank you for all that you give us, our jobs and homes, our physical things that help us enjoy life here, also the spiritual blessings of your grace, mercy, and love, and for salvation through Jesus. Help us as we strive to be more like you. Please be with those who have recently lost loved ones, and please give them the comfort. Please give them comfort as they mourn. Please be with those who are in need of our prayers at this time due to illness. Help them get better as quickly as possible, if that is your will. At this time, please be with those who are traveling to reach their destination safely. Please continue to be with all of us and protect us. Be with us as we leave and keep us safe and healthy. We know it's by your will that we live or do anything. Thank you for your love and mercy for us. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.